Welcome back to Mad Props. I am your host, Chris Schnabel, and I'm thrilled that you're joining us for another episode. Before we start, don't forget to stay connected with us on social media at Mad Props Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can also go to Schnabel Studios, which we talked a little bit in the last episode, which is hosting a lot of our film stuff and our freelancing, my freelancing stuff, I should say. There's more podcasts on there. That's at Schnabel Studios. So if you want to connect with us, at the podcast itself, at Mad Props Pod. If you want to connect with all of Schnabel Studios, at Schnabel Studios. I know, you're thinking, whoa, that was really early for a plug for the social media, but I really kind of want to get into it pretty quickly on this one. We have a lot of fun stuff we're going to talk about, so I don't want to go too much into the social media stuff. Hey, if you want to talk to us, we really love hearing from you, at Mad Props Pod or at Schnabel Studios, where you can find everything you're going to need for both of those. In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the guests we've had on this show, including some of the top guests we've had on this show for different reasons, varying from being some of the first guests to some of the important guests that really have brought this show to where it is today. I'm also going to be talking a little bit about how I spent my Mario Day, which was probably doing the best thing you could possibly do on a Mario Day, which I can't wait to talk about. If you haven't already, check out last week's episode. It was a solo episode of me again, but then I talked about my encounter with Mario himself, Charles Martinet. So right before Mario Day, I talked about Charles Martinet. Yeah, I just rhymed. Get over it. As we continue to evolve this show, I'm excited to talk about how I'm going to start doing a mix of interview episodes with solo episodes. So this is the second now straight solo episode. We had a very successful, we had a lot of success with the first episode, a lot of very good feedback with the last episode being a solo episode. I was very nervous in trying to do this combination of the two. I felt like at this point, Mad Props was just so heavily interview-based that if I try to start trying to do solos, it can really decrease viewership, and actually it was one of the most viewed recent episodes, or listened to, I should say, episodes in a long time. The YouTube numbers were down, but that's okay because we're really looking for you guys to listen anyway. That's where we really want you to go. We want you to listen while you're in your car. We want you to listen while you're on a walk, while you're on a run. You know, that's where we really want to get you. So like, if people aren't watching, it's okay. You're listening, and we're excited to have you listening. And thank you so much to everybody that listened last week and really brought those numbers up. When I went and looked at the numbers, especially coming from our website, which is schnabelstudios.com, when I was looking at the numbers from the website and the amount of people that listened, I was actually shocked to see the number. So thank you guys so much. It just showed that this can succeed as the podcast I wanted to be, even without a guest to support it. So thank you guys so much, and keep coming along with us as we continue to build. So from here on out, you can expect a blend of, like, you know, how-to guides and captivating stories from me, not just guests. But of course, you'll still get your insightful conversations with people. We have some guests lined up. We have some guests hoping to come on. So don't worry, that'll still be the staple of Mad Props. The guests have been a backbone of the show for a long time now, and they'll continue to play a significant role in the show as we continue to move forward. But also, there's going to be a lot more of the solo shows, which is very exciting because now this can become more of a weekly thing. You get me more weekly if that's what you really want. But anyway, that's the really exciting part, is we can kind of be doing this more every Monday, which is really what I was aiming for the whole time, instead of doing it like every other week, where we start to build the audience and they fade away, then we build and they fade away. So I'm very excited for this whole switch that we're doing, and I can't wait to keep going on this. But let's get into this. Let's not waste any more time with all this stuff. Let's jump in. Roll the titles. This is Mad Props. Thank you guys again for joining. I'm Chris Schnabel again. Just for those that don't know anybody that maybe skipped to the past the intro or something like that, go back and listen because there's some good stuff before this. But we're going to get right into this episode and get going. I want to kick it off with the person on my hat here. Yesterday was Mario Day. For people that don't know, March 10, M-A-R, 10 is Mario. It spells Mario. That's what Nintendo did. And my girlfriend Mary and I did celebrated the best way you possibly can, and that's by going to the National Video Game Museum, Frisco, Texas, to see the roots of Mario and really see where our favorite plumber started. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool. For those that don't know, in Frisco, Texas, they opened, I don't know how long ago now, they opened the National Video Game Museum. And it's not just this small little thing. It is a good-sized museum. It has all of the consoles from the first console ever in 1972 all the way up to the new consoles, the PS5, Switch, the Xbox One, all that stuff. And it has the history of everything. You can go on and see the history of the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Advance, the SP, the 3DS, all the way up. You can see all of the Nintendo consoles. You can see what consoles inspired the Nintendo consoles. They even had the cards that Nintendo started with. Then they first started in the 1800s. They had everything you can possibly think video games, especially Nintendo, Sega, Sony, Microsoft, all that stuff. Let me tell you, if you are in the Texas area, the Dallas, Texas area especially, you need to go to this museum because it was unbelievably amazing. And the history you can learn from this museum alone is pretty cool. And I think some of my favorite parts of this was, I watch a lot of YouTube documentaries, as some people that may have listened or may just know me. I like to watch a lot of YouTube documentaries, not like the ones that are conspiracy based or whatever. Like, these are usually very well thought out, put together things that have done a lot of research to, have mountains and mountains of different links to going to articles and websites to kind of to fact check themselves and stuff. I really like those. The people that put in a lot of thought to those, good job, because you guys do a great job, okay? But I was watching one on these old failed video game products. One of them that was there that I was so excited to see was Nintendo. I believe it was Nintendo made a glove. And you were supposed to, like, you held out the glove and did different things, and that's how you controlled the game. I watched that documentary and actually a couple other ones on this particular item. And to see it in person was really cool, because I've watched it so many times in so many different documentaries and in so many different other videos. I've seen this failed product, and to be able to, like, see it in person and see exactly how it looks was really cool. Like, it was unbelievable. And it was there twice, and I was pretty happy to see it both times, because I was like, I've now watched how many videos on this thing, and there it is sitting in front of me. So that was the one cool thing. They also had, like, a bunch of different setups. Like, they had, like, when video games first came out, what the setup looked like. It was like this old 1960s, 1970s, tube TV on channel 3, and then there was like an 80s setup, because that's like the boom of video games, right, is the 80s. And you can go in, and not only do you get to play the games that were in the consoles there, but you also can see, like, they had the setups of, like, the poster of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and I can't remember what the guy's name is, but the weird head that talked all the time in the 80s, and that's like what everybody was into for some reason. And they had Simon there, and you could play Simon, and it was very 80s themed. It was all 80s, you know, media, whatever. But it was really cool that they had the whole room set up, and, like, you can kind of get brought back to that time, clearly going for the nostalgia pull of anybody that was there. But it was just really cool. And Mary played Duck Hunt, and she was a boss at it. She got through 5 levels before we decided to move on. Took out all the ducks in a couple of those levels. So she was a boss at Duck Hunt, with the gun, obviously, pointed at the TV. So I had to make sure she got her flowers on that one, because I watched her do it. I have a video of her just killing off these birds. Killing off these birds. But that was really cool. They also had a 30-year anniversary tribute to the live-action Super Mario Brothers movie. And I laugh because Mary doesn't know anything about the Super Mario Brothers movie. She doesn't know that, she didn't even know it existed until I was telling her, like, they had this tribute to it. And the movie itself, for people that haven't seen it, is not great. It is not great. It's just, the story's weird, and it doesn't seem like Mario Brothers at all, except for they call themselves Mario Brothers, and there's a Peach, and there's a Bowser, and there's a Yoshi, and there's all these things. But for me, it was amazing because I remember watching it as a kid, and I didn't think the movie was that good as a kid, but I loved Mario Brothers so much that I own the movie. I watched it 1,000 times, and I was trying to tell her, like, even though this movie wasn't great as a movie, it was so important for, like, kids like me that, like, just loved Mario and decided they wanted to watch the Mario movie. And for those of you who don't know, I'm actually the same age as that movie. It came out in 1993, so we're coming up on the 31st year, but they had their 30-year anniversary still there. And it was cool. You got this, there was props in there. All the wrenches they used were laid out. Luigi's entire costume was there, including the pinstripe hat. Peach's dress was there, and it was the green, which I don't remember, but why would they do that? Like, she's famously known for having a pink dress. There's a lot of things they didn't really do great in that movie. The crystal, if you remember the crystal that she has, that was there. There were two versions of it sitting there. I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, the actual prop crystal was there. All the guns they were using were there. Yoshi's head was there. I should share some, maybe I'll share some of these photos through the week. Yoshi's head was sitting there. It was crazy, but, like, I was looking at all this stuff and just thinking about the movie. And even though, like I said, the movie wasn't great, it brought me joy to look at all this stuff because now I'm just flashing back thinking of this 30-year-old movie that I saw when I was young, that I watched on, like, VHS and then DVD, like, not really, like, meaning anything in my life other than it being Mario. And now I'm sitting here at 30 years old, looking at it in this museum, celebrating the 30-year anniversary, and just being like, I need to go watch this movie. So all that just to say, the Mario Brothers movie, I think I need to watch it again. Maybe I'll watch it and do a full review on here of the Mario Brothers 1993 movie. By the way, I didn't even realize this till I was watching. The Mario Brothers movie didn't get an Oscar nomination. I didn't think it should win one, but I'm surprised it didn't get a nomination. It was a very big movie. But they don't usually care about that, do they? Spider-Man lost too, so I was pretty upset. I didn't see the one that won. I'm sure it's amazing, but dude, Into the Spider-Verse, dude, was sick. Like, the animation was great. I liked it a lot. Story was pretty good. But I've never seen the other one, so I can't really complain. I can complain Spider-Man didn't win, but I can't really complain outside of that because I don't really know if the other one is, you know, better or not. For anybody that didn't watch the Oscars were great. Oppenheimer crushed the back end, you know, best actor, supporting actor, director, score, film, all that stuff, won all that stuff. I think Barbie did, it won at least one, maybe one, two. I know it won, the Billie Eilish song won, so it won at least one Oscar. So it didn't get shut out. But the Emma Stone won. First of all, I was so unbelievably happy Emma Stone won the Oscar because that's her second Oscar. It puts her in very rarefied air with, like, only, I think it's like 7 or 8 different actresses that have won 2+ Oscars in their life. So it's, like, funny, like, if people that are, like, my age, younger, old, I'm assuming most people listening are around my age, right? Watching her start in, like, Superbad, Easy A, like, these teen movies, and now she's a 2-time Oscar winning actress. Like, it really, I was so happy when she won. And to see her just so frazzled, I have to imagine it wasn't because she actually won the Oscar that she was frazzled. It had to have been, she knows now, like, she's in, like, she's in Meryl Streep, like, air. Like, she's in the same sentence now as, like, Meryl Streep, which is crazy. And so, congratulations, Emma Stone. I know you're watching. We love you here. Come on the podcast anytime you want. But it was awesome to watch. We watched the entire Oscars. It's, I think, the first time in my life I watched the Oscars from start to finish. I very much enjoyed it. John Cena was funny coming out naked. The Batman reunion of Michael Keaton, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Danny DeVito was amazing. And the way Way Al Pacino. It's Al Pacino, right? Said the last one. If you haven't seen him announcing the film of the year, which went to Oppenheimer, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen him announcing that, you need to go watch it. It's just so funny. He like opens it. It says like Oppenheimer years. It was so bad, but it was so funny at the same time. But anyway, going back to the video game museum. Got a little off track there. But I want to talk about the Oscars. Go back to the video game museum. Definitely check it out. It's in Frisco, Texas. And if you're in Frisco, Texas, you know, let me know. Maybe we can hang out. But if it's in Frisco, Texas, it's right next to Dallas FC Stadium. There's a lot of other stuff to do there. There's different museums and different things you could do in this whole complex. But the video game museum itself was fantastic. Best part of the museum, we didn't do it this time. It was very packed. So we said we're gonna hoard our things now and then we'll get more next time we come. Best part of it, at the end of the museum, an entire room of old game arcade. They give you 4 coins when you come in per person. And you get to just go in and play any of the games. Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, Pac-Man, Tetris, Snake. All that stuff is right there for you to just come in and play after your whole tour is done. And then you go through the gift shop. That's where this hat came from, by the way. This hat. Look at that. Sick hat. Bought it at the gift shop. I knew I needed a Mario hat. I didn't own one until now. Well, I had one at one time in the back of my car. Got sun bleached. We threw it away. But this is not going back there. That's staying on my head. I love this hat. But then there's the gift shop, obviously. Great time. Also, by the way, $10. That's it. $10 to go. That's a great price for it. We spent 2 hours there. It was great. Definitely check it out. Yeah, that's really all I got to say about that. You get to play old games. We played Oregon Trail. I played Mario 3. Like I said, Mary played Duck Hunt. There's Pong, there's Mario Kart, all different Mario Karts, Super Smash Brothers. They have a whole room dedicated just playing, not even just two Super, but just playing Super Smash Brothers. Like you can just go in there and play Super Smash Brothers. You can play all these different games. You get to see all this different stuff. There's a ton of photo ops as well. There was a giant Master Chief from the release of Halo that was there. There was different magazines, like Nintendo Power from different years. It was just such a cool experience. Man, I'm telling you right now, if you missed it, if you don't come to Texas and miss this. It's a must-see in Frisco, Texas. But that's how we spent our Mario Day, and we're really excited. We were really excited to be able to do that. I actually wanted to go to the museum on March 9th, on Saturday. Not even thinking like, oh, let's just go to Mario Day. That'd be so much more fun. So we were going to go the day before, and I woke up and I had a pack of fluid in my right knee, right above my right kneecap. I couldn't sleep. I was up, I think I woke up at 2:30 in the morning, never went back to sleep, went to the doctor at 8:30. He tried to drain it. It was too thick or it was in the muscle or something like that. He gave it like a steroid shot. And then come today, I felt amazing, walked around the whole day, helped someone push a car to a gas station off the highway, all this stuff, no pain. Thank you, doctor, for helping me get back to strength. I still have to rest for a couple days. Anybody that knows me outside of podcasting knows I can't sit still. This is the most I could sit still for is doing a podcast. I have to be moving, but I'm going to take those couple days off because the doctor said so. But yeah, I was in excruciating pain all Saturday. So to come on in on Sunday and be able to do it was really fun. But anyway, let's move to the next topic. That's enough about the video game museum. If you guys enjoy it, if you've ever been there, let me know in the comments or something. Shoot us a message on Instagram or on Twitter. We loved it though. It was so much fun. Definitely go there. What I really want to talk about though is our guests. As I said in the beginning of the show, we're kind of looking to switch gears a little bit and go a little more solo just so I can get more podcasts out there. I have stories I want to tell too, man. I have things I want to say as well. And I could do it with guests, but sometimes it's hard to get these guests. Sometimes, even though I have these connections, they just can't come on when I want them to come on, you know? So we got to work the way we can work. So I just want to talk about the guests, though, because it's been a backbone of this show. I mean, this is the 62nd episode of Mad Props, and I would say out of the 62 episodes, 58 of them have had guests. I think there's only been 4 solo episodes, including these last 2. So I just want to, you know, talk about some of the best guests, some of the top guests we've had, some of the guests that have changed the show. I mean, we've gained some of you guys that are listening now through some of the guests, and you guys have come back for the next episode. So let's talk a little bit about that, because we've had some really good guests on here. Let me tell you how I'm going to do this. I'm going to say how we get these guests, or give you a little insight on how we get these guests, I should say. Not too much insight, because I don't want to give away any. I don't want to give too many secrets away. But we're going to talk about how we get a lot of these guests. Then I'm going to talk about the guests that have been like crucial to the show so far. I might not get to all the crucial guests. I'm going to tell you right now, we've had so many amazing guests. It's hard to say, like, this is my top 5. But I'm going to talk about the ones that meant a lot to me on this show. Like the ones you probably already know which ones, based on other podcasts I've been on or other times I've talked about guests. Like the same guests always come up because they just really are staples to what the show is today. So here's how I connect with guests. It's very simple. Sometimes it's through email. Sometimes I find their publicist or their agent, or I find something along there and I email them and hopefully they get back. That's how we've gotten a lot of our guests. Most of the time you don't hear anything or you hear a no. I can email 200 people and I might hear back from one. Like that's how hard it is to get them through email. So I'd usually try to go through more personal connections. Sometimes it is just personal connections. I may just know somebody and I want them to come on and talk about whatever. Like that happens a lot. Matt Sheldon knew through a personal connection. Sophie Whittle knew through personal connection. Like there are people I can go through a lot of them. Mike Kinch, personal connection. There's a lot of them that will come on just because I know them. And then there's the ones that I have never met, but I meet on something like LinkedIn. I've actually, a lot of the guests, Dan Hughes, Zachary Galia, Galia, I said his name wrong. What other ones? Jackie Jamelos. These are all linked. I got them all on LinkedIn. I connected with them on LinkedIn. I just reached out and said, hey, I have a podcast. I would love for you to come on and talk. And they come on and talk because they just want to get their story out there and get their feelings and everything like that out there. So that's how we meet a lot of these people. It's not as complicated as it might seem. Like we really are just putting our name out there and hoping to, can we throw a net and hope something gets brought in. That's really how it goes. So now I want to kind of talk about, this is going to be more the deeper dive. Like that was just kind of a quick how we get people. And I might go more deeper into that in a later podcast. But really what I want to talk about are the people that were crucial to this show. It's not going to be in any particular order. I will start with the biggest start, but it's not going to be in any particular order. So I would say the first person I'm going to talk about is the first person that's ever been on the show, and that's Kid Quill. Kid Quill, hip-hop artist from Indiana, now lives in L.A., we booked him because my old producer, Rayanne Allen, he was on her like pump up list or something like that. So he brought her up. She brought him up and we ended up emailing him. He got back. He said he's in, and we had him on the first episode. That was back when we were doing twofers. So technically the first voice you ever heard was Ivy Marie, but the first interview we ever conducted for this show was with Kid Quill. And that's going to be important because it kicked off this whole thing, right? Like none of this happens without starting with Kid Quill, which also got us like a lot of very good, reviews from that, because at this point we were still casting on iZag and stuff like that. So we had more ears and eyes on the product and people really loved it. So that was our first one. That's why it has importance. I'm not going to go too deep into that because that's really what has the importance. It's really good, too. If you haven't listened to it, episode 1, go back and check it out. I would say the next one here, like I said, it's in no particular order. I'm going to say Julius Thomas III is probably one of the most important podcast interviews we've ever conducted. Now, people that have listened to it are probably sitting there like, didn't seem like anything crazy came out of that interview. You just talked about Hamilton for a couple minutes, and then you talked about comic books for 50 minutes. That right there, though, is why it was so important. That was the episode that we decided that it's not going to just be this. It's not going to be just bring somebody on, interview them about what they do, and talk about the same stuff they always talk about. We were already kind of off of that a little bit, but this was the interview. So we brought up comic books in Spokane. We brought up Merlin's comic book shop because Julius went there for Free Comic Book Day. I also went there for Free Comic Book Day. I was like, hey, we may have crossed paths before we even met on this call. And then we just went from there to talk about comic books for another 50 minutes. That made me realize, and then after that interview off air, Julius was like, man, this was one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done because it becomes robotic to talk about the same thing over and over and over. So it was just such a breath of fresh air to be able to talk something else for an hour. And hearing him say that really made me think like, oh, like maybe that's what we should just do. Maybe we should just bring people on and not talk anything about what they always talk about. That I always did my research on people. But the research changed at this moment. Before it was, let's listen, let's read, let's figure out questions for these people based on what I'm reading and writing, or reading and listening to. Now it was, let's listen to podcasts this person's been on, let's read articles where they were interviewed, let's look up what they do, and anything you find is now crossed off the list. So when I listen to a podcast, oh, well, tell us about your role in this play, crossed off the list. Hey, can you tell us more about this character? Crossed off the list. Everything we're going to do from this point on is going to be away from what you always do. Now, will we ask a couple questions based on what they do? Of course we will, because we want them to promote themselves and we also need to start somewhere. But we're pushing off of that and we're just only going to talk about things nobody would know, because if they want to know it, they can find it somewhere else, but not here, not on Mad Props. That is why I think Julius Thomas's was one of the most important episodes we've ever had, because it changed the entire dynamic of the show. Next on this list, I want to talk about Darren Nefcy. Now, if you were listening to when I said I'm going to bring up some of the most important guests, you had to know this name was coming. Darren Nefcy is the creator of Star vs. the Force of Evil, is the most listened to episode of this podcast ever. Not only is the solo one, which is how they all are now, they're all solo episodes, the most listened to one. Before, when it was her and Morgan Lombard, Madame Mo, now Stardust artist or cartoonist. Sorry if I got that wrong. I think it's Stardust cartoonist. Maybe I'll try to look that up before. But anyway, it was her. And then that episode also is the second most listened to episode of all time of Mad Props. So technically she has the two most, even though one is now privatized and you can't see the double episode anymore. But you can still see the single episode, and it is the most listened to. It's the most watched and the most listened to. It is the top podcast we've ever had on Mad Props is Darren Nefcy. I'm going to take you through a moment. So I emailed Darren FC's people and just, you know, maybe we'll get back. So I'm sitting there going through our emails. We're actually writing up some scripts and stuff like that. This is when I had a bunch of producers writing up some scripts. I get an email back. It says, this is what we were also called Offstage Radio at the time. So a lot of changes have been made at this point. It says Offstage Radio interview request, colon, accepted. And I lit up. Click it. Hello, Chris. We have talked to Darren, and she is excited to accept your invitation to be interviewed on your show. Let's work out the details of when she can join. I dropped because it was a dream to get this interview. Now, a lot of people listening probably have never seen Star vs. the Forces of Evil. So I want to break it down. If you have, you'll know this already. But let me break it down for the people that haven't seen it. Star vs. the Forces of Evil was a Disney show. It was on Disney Channel and Disney XD. Darren is the second ever female showrunner in Disney history. This show has a huge cult following. It has a huge following, but still to this day, it's been off air now for, I believe, 5 years. And it still has a loyal, loyal, loyal fan base. Darren coming on at this point, this is in 2020, maybe 21. It was either 20 or 21. I think it was 20 though. It had to have been 20 for the Christmas episode. So Darren coming on in 2020, that's 1 year after the final episode. There were questions. There were story leads that needed to be answered. There was all this stuff that people wanted to know about Star vs. the Forces of Evil. And we had the creator coming on. So much hype was built around this. So the minute it happened, we started to post. Darren Nefcia will be joining in an upcoming episode, posting it all over the internet. We're getting it out there. Darren Nefcia is joining us. People are sending us questions. People want to come on, obviously, to talk to her. That's not going to happen. Sorry, people. Join the Patreon for that. Hopefully, we'll have that soon. But everyone was so excited. Then Darren comes on. She's on a phone because she did not yet have her child. She just had her child. And she just didn't want to be on camera. That's always fine, people. Anybody that wants to be a guest, you don't have to be on camera. We prefer people to listen anyway. So she comes on, and when she's coming on, now I'm talking with Darren Nefcia, so to me, this is a huge deal. I know who she is. I know what she means to show business and to TV and to cartoons, and her show is one of the top cartoons of the 2010s, like, this is an awesome moment for me. As you know, I've been doing Sketching Up longer than I've been doing Mad Props. And Sketching Up's all about cartoons. So I'm very happy for this moment. But I have to now talk to Darren Nefcia before we go on to break the ice. For people that don't understand what I'm trying to talk about, before any guest comes on, I try to talk to them for about 10 plus minutes to try to warm them up. Just like any interview would be. Any interview you watch, whether you're watching Jimmy Kimmel or you're listening to Conan O'Brien or whomever, you have to warm the guest up before you go right into an interview. That's why when you listen to a lot of interview podcasts, they kind of cut in and it just sounds like there's the middle of a conversation, because most of the time it might be. They might be, yeah, let's start it right here because we're in a really good conversation or something like that. So I try to warm them up. Off air, no recording, nothing like that. So I'm talking with Darren Nefcia, and we connected pretty quickly. Like, we're going really good. I'm like, you know what, Darren, let's get this thing started. And then we did a full hour-long conversation, deep dive, a lot of questions. I went out, I bought the Star vs. the Forces of Evil Book of Spells, and read the whole thing, listened to a bunch of podcasts she's been on, read a bunch of interview articles she's been on, whether they were 10 years old, or not, they weren't 10 years old, whether 5 years old, or they were done a couple weeks before. I'd listened to everything, so we had the best selection of questions we possibly can. She very much enjoyed coming on. We've been in contact since about maybe her coming back. It got very good reception online. Like I said, most listened to and most watched in a bunch of different ways. I would say it was just so important because I think this is the episode that really got us on the map as a podcast. It was when Darren Nefcia came on and talked about her show and talked about how it ended and talked about some loose ends and talked about clearing things up. And it was just such a good episode. It was really well done. Thank you, Darren, for coming on. It still, to me, is one of the best interview moments I've ever had, having such an important creator on air. And hopefully she comes back. Darren, we'd love to see you come back. So if you're listening, come on back. To go from one that meant a lot to the podcast to going to one that meant a lot to me, Jason Page, who you've heard a lot of his name on this podcast in the last couple weeks, not only was a great conversation, but we developed a personal relationship outside of that, and now it's led to me actually getting physical work outside of the podcast. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, last week we talked about how at Collecticon, Jason invited me out to come help him record video at the Dallas Collecticon. If you go to Jason Page's Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook, or YouTube page, you can actually see a lot of the shorts from Dallas. All the shorts from Dallas Collecticon I recorded. And I've even edited most of them. The full song, the follow, the Charizard card, and there's one more in there. I edited Stephen John Ward, the guy from One Piece. I edited, shot, all that stuff, all four of those videos. And it's crazy to see the numbers they've been doing. I mean, the Pokemon theme song had like 400,000 views on TikTok the last time I saw it. Like, to see a video that I created doing so well is like, it's the actually, to be really honest with you, reading the comments of what people said about the video itself and like the quality of the video, not only the quality that Jason did, but the quality of the video itself, like really makes me happy. Like, that's why I do what I do. Like, I don't just do something like this to entertain. I do something like this to help and to for somebody to be so excited. Like, the quality of the video makes them happy because they love the song and the video to really go with it. It just made me so happy. So anyway, this interview was very important to me because without this interview, none of this happens. I don't even know Jason. I brought him in. I talked to him for a very good episode. We've kept in contact ever since. And then I just happened to see he's going to Collecticon. One thing leads to another. I'm his videographer for 3 days and upcoming more. He's bringing me back to do more days with him. So like, this is why this one. So it may not be as important to the show itself, but it's extremely, extremely important to Chris because it helped me get work outside of just podcasting. And that's what I want. Any former guest that comes to the Dallas area wants to fly me out, I'm so willing to come do it because I love doing video. I love my job in video. So if you need a video done, man, hit me up. You got the email. I know you do because I'm the one that sent it to you first place. So that's why Jason Pages is so important. Jason, man, he's the best. Jason Pages is the absolute best. I'm telling you right now, not a joke, not a lie. This dude's amazing. You have a chance to work with him, you have a chance to talk with him, you have a chance to meet him, do it, because he's a great dude. Can't say enough good things about Jason Page. He's the man, and that's why that one's so important to me, though, because, like, without that interview... So, when I got that interview, I reached out, and I heard back from his agent, and we did a pre... And I do this with a lot of people. I usually do it with the person itself, but I did this with the agent this time. I did a pre-interview conversation, because they want to know, like, you're not an ass, basically. They want to know, like, are you going to be good? Like, are you a good person? Like, a lot of that stuff. So I talk with the agent. We have, like an hour-long conversation. Great conversation. She's great, too. And from there, they're just like, yeah, like, let's do this. Like, I'm excited. Jason's excited. Let's do this. And so then next thing happens, I tell him, let's do this interview. He jumps on. Go listen to that one. Episode 44, I believe, is with Jason Page. And you can go listen to that or watch that now. It's available everywhere. And there's hopefully going to be the new one soon because Jason's the man. I want to have him back on as soon as possible. The last one I'm going to talk about, was not specifically like the most successful episode ever, but I personally think this was what really, it's not made my name, but like this one really meant a lot to me. When Jim Obergefell came on, first of all, when he said he would come on, I was like in shock because he's a civil rights leader. So like we're going from having people like Darren Epstein and Kid Quill to having someone that's a civil rights leader. So that was an amazing thing. And two, it really showed that the diversity of the show. Like, it doesn't have to only be entertainment. It doesn't only have to be sports. It doesn't only have to be music. It doesn't only have to be media. Like, we can go into semi-political places and it's okay, like it works, and people will listen, and people want to hear this. That was like really the big one, like how last week, we just talked about in the beginning of the episode, I went to a solo episode, had very good reception, like makes me willing to do more. Like having Jim Obergefell come on and it be successful made me realize like we don't always have to stick with one thing. Like we can try out different waters and see how it goes. So it wasn't the most listened to episode. It was a very, very highly listened to episode, but it wasn't the most listened to episode. It wasn't top of any list. But it showed that people are interested in this topic. People will listen to things like this. And we can get guests like this. Like Jim coming on showed that like civil rights leaders are willing to join. They're willing to come on. They're willing to talk. They're willing to tell their story. They're willing to talk about other things. So that was amazing. To have Jim Obergefell on, I can't explain to you how unbelievably honoring it was to even be able to talk to him. To even ever have him respond and come on. And for a while there, we got Christmas cards from Jim Obergefell. And when I think about that, sometimes it just blows my mind. And he's another one I'm hoping to connect with and get back on and have him talk, because I would love to hear from him again. His first interview was three, four years ago. I'd love to have him come back on and kind of talk about what he's gone through since then and how the world is around, looking through his eyes, because things have changed since then, big time. And I'd love to know what he thinks and what he has to say and all that. So, and we talked about now a couple of people that I want to have come back on. I'll tell you right now, as of right now, we have one confirmed guest and a bunch of maybes. So hopefully some of those maybes turned into confirmed soon so we can get more guests coming on. But until then, I mean, I enjoy doing this. I enjoy telling the stories and the behind the scenes. And I really want to do that more often. I want to really talk about things like, I've done this a couple times, but I have a really specific way I want to talk about it off stage again. That won't be for a while. So the people that just groaned out loud, don't worry. I want to talk about some stories of my own personal stories. I've always wanted to tell my US Open stories, but I can't do it until certain people tell me yes or no. There's just a lot of big things I want to talk about and have stories about and conversations about. So it's okay that we're going to have some solo episodes in between. But we are looking to have some more guests on. I'm very excited to have more guests on. Like I said, we have a couple of people in the pipeline. We do have a confirmed yes in April that will be coming on and talking about a TV show. So that's going to be really exciting. I wish I could tell more info, but I can't really tell more info other than that. And hey, if you're listening right now and you're like, man, I'd love to come tell my story or I have something to promote, dude, hit us up at madpropspod on Instagram and Twitter. Schnabelstudios@gmail.com. Let us know, man. We'd love to have people on and just talk about their stories, talk about themselves, just because whether you're someone that's super famous or someone that just has a cool job or just someone, man, everybody has a cool story to tell. So reach out, let us know your story, let us know what you're trying to promote, and we're definitely looking to discover new stories and perspectives, so let us know what's going on. But other than that, it's been another great episode of Mad Props, man. We got to talk about Mario Day, we got to talk about guests, we got to talk about the Oscars. Let us know what you thought the worst part of there, the best part of the Oscars were, because we'd love to talk about that. Maybe we'll get that on Sketching Up next time we come back on that. I want to give a huge thank you to all of our listeners out there. Your support means the absolute world to us. Remember to follow us on social media at MadPropsPod, Instagram, Facebook, and X or Twitter to stay updated on all things Mads Props. Also follow Schnabel Studios on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, LinkedIn. You can find us on all those things. LinkedIn, you can get some articles. TikTok, we're trying to post more videos. We've been posting videos. We kind of fell off for a little bit there. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, comment, all that stuff. Your feedback helps us grow, helps us improve. So please leave your feedback for every episode that you listen to. And don't forget to check out schnabelstudios.com. You can see articles, you can listen, you can watch. All that stuff is there. All Schnabel Studios content is there, schnabelstudios.com. So definitely go check that out. We'd love to hear from you from that as well. That'll do it for another episode of Mad Props. Peace out, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. This was Mad Props.